Welcome to His Word Heals. You can also visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com, where everything that we produce, all of our videos and podcasts and even books and a CD are all free for download. Today we're going to talk about COVID-19 contact tracing. What is contact tracing? What is the government doing to promote contact tracing? How might it affect you? What is some of the technology that is going to be used for contact tracing? And should we participate in contact tracing? If someone from the government says, hey, you've got COVID-19, I need all of your contacts in the last 14 days. I need their names, phone numbers, addresses, or I need all of your information from your phone to see who you've been around lately with your phone. Should we give out that information? Or should we say, no, I don't think so. I think I'll be calling the folks myself and I'll let them know to give you a call and leave it at that. I think that we should contact people privately and ask them what their preference is before we go giving out all of their personal information. Then they can decide for themselves if their family needs to go see a doctor or contact the health department, and they can go and privately contact all of the people around them as well. But that's not what we're being encouraged to do. We're being encouraged to snitch on or rat out or disclose everyone that we've been around for 14 days so that they can be traced and all of their contacts can be traced and so on. And you'll see in these video clips that are news clips and also quotes and interviews with government officials themselves what the plans are for this contact tracing. They plan to have an army of private contact tracers. You'll also see a video clip where they talk about removing family members from homes that don't have enough bathrooms if one or more members of that home tests positive according to their tests, which, as we know by now, are not extremely accurate. So I would encourage you to share this video with everyone that you know, help people become informed, and help them to become educated on this subject so that we can make informed decisions as grown-ups should, and we can decide what is best for our family and not be giving personal information of all of our friends out to government agencies who will then invade their lives and their privacy and possibly quarantine or remove family members from their homes. Everything that we're going to look at today all comes from official government websites, from news clips and interviews from government agencies and government officials. So please prayerfully consider all of this information. Again, share it with your family and friends. Visit our website, www.hiswordheals.com. Let's watch Dr. Michael Ryan from the World Health Organization, or WHO, from March of 2020.
These society-wide measures are difficult. They are not easy, and they are hurting people. But the alternative is even worse. And countries, if they're going to be able to move away from this approach of having to lock down and shut down, if we're going to move away from that approach as a means of suppressing the virus, we have got to put in place the public health surveillance, the isolation, the quarantine, the case finding, the detection. We've got to be able to show that we can go after the virus, because lockdowns alone will not work. But unfortunately, in some situations right now, they're the only measure that governments can actually take to slow down this virus. In most parts of the world, due to lockdown, most of the transmission that's actually happening in many countries now is happening in the household, at family level. In some senses, transmission has been taken off the streets and pushed back into family units. Now we need to go and look in families to find those people who may be sick and remove them and isolate them in a safe and dignified manner.
Now let's watch Dr. Robert Levin, the health director of Ventura County Public Health, and that, I believe that's in California.
We are beginning a program today, and it's a pilot program which will certainly grow into something larger and larger, and that is a community contact tracing program. We've done contact tracing all along. That a contact is a person who's been exposed to someone that we document to have the COVID infection. When we find someone who has a COVID infection, those people are immediately isolated. But we also work with them to figure out who their contacts were. Luckily, because you have been doing such a great job of cooperating and staying indoors, and staying isolated, it used to be there were 10 contacts, at least, for every patient that we would find. Now, it looks like there are probably only 2 or 3 or 4 contacts, not surprisingly, because most people have been staying away from others. And that's good news. But the purpose of this program is to bring on people. We're going to start with 10 people. We may bring on up to 50 or even more as the program grows and as we see the needs for it. As we do more testing, we will find more and more people who have COVID-19. And again, we'll isolate every one of them, and we will find every one of their contacts, and we will make sure that they stay quarantined, and we'll check in with them every day. In other words, what this program means is that we're going to do a more complete job, and we're going to do a more meticulous job of making it less and less possible for others in the county to run into someone with COVID-19 infection. It's not just our county that's bringing more people on. There are going to be thousands of people hired who will be these contact investigators throughout the state. And this is occurring in many, many other states as well, perhaps all of the states in our country. We will be giving intensive training to these people, training not only for identifying and finding contacts, but also in terms of how to be sensitive about doing it. We also realize that as we find more contacts, some of the people we find are going to have trouble being isolated. For instance, if they live in a home where there's only one bathroom and there are 3 or 4 other people living there and those people don't have COVID infection, we're not going to be able to keep the person in that home. Every person who we're isolating, for instance, needs to have their own bathroom. And so we'll be moving people like this into other kinds of housing that we have available. They'll also have other needs, perhaps, food, whatever it's going to be. The county will be there to back them up and to support them.
How benevolent. Everyone gets to have their own bathroom if you have COVID-19. You might not get to be with your family anymore, but you're going to get your own private bathroom, right? Take a look at this. This is House Resolution 6666, and this is the resolution to fund thousands and thousands of more contact tracers so that the government can find out who's going to need their own bathroom. As you can see, the Centers for Disease Control has an entire page dedicated to contact tracing, training, digital tools, guidance, hiring people, what contact tracers do, other federal agencies, private sector, non-governmental organizations, and academia, digital tools, guidance. So if you want more information, go to cdc.gov/coronavirus/2019. You can see the web page right up here. Okay, now let's take a listen and watch Bill Clinton interviewing with Governor Cuomo and Newsom. Governor Cuomo, of course, from New York, and Gavin Newsom from California. Let's hear what they have to say about needing an army of contact tracers.
We need tracing agents in the hundreds and hundreds of people, right? You take the test and then you trace back all the contacts. It's never been done on this scale, basically investigators. We will do that the best we can with these with a seven-state consortium. But it could have been done from the federal government on a much tighter, more efficient basis.
You know, I agree with you on this. This contact tracing is very important, and it could enable our entire country for the first time to have a real public health system, a real public health core. And I've thought about it in a lot of different ways. Could we make this a part of AmeriCorps and encourage people to come and do this work and earn some credits to go to college, for example?
Yes, let's recruit the kids. It worked well for Hitler, too.
Is there some other way we could do it? But I know that my friend, whom you know well, Paul Farmer, is heading up a program for Massachusetts now to try to get a state contact tracing core. Do you think maybe you could get the governors to ask the Congress to fund that as a part of all this money they're giving you? Or maybe it's legal now to spend some of the money, but we need a national core of healthy people who are properly trained to go out and do this contact tracing. We need the bodies. But one of the things that you have to be able to do is to track people who are positive. Where were they? Who were they in contact with? How can you hem up any recurrence of this? Massachusetts has recently announced that they're going to try to build a statewide tracking program, and they've asked partners in health to run it for them. And they're one of my partners in the work we've done in Africa, Haiti, and other places. But where are we going to get all these contact tracers? Should we have, like you did with California did with the Conservation Corps of young people?
Again, we need to recruit the young people.
Should we have a contract tracer corps, even if we call it something more elegant? Should we really build the first public health network we've ever really built in this country around this issue?
The guy on the right, Governor Newsom of California, is entirely too happy. He can hardly contain himself at the thought.
I think the answer is absolutely yes, and I love the Massachusetts example. We were able to learn from them. We're all sharing best practices in real time. But this is an interesting point that's often not brought up. We have tracing capacity that predates COVID-19. It goes back to SARS, measles, TB, et cetera. Tracking and tracing capacity that exists in the county levels primarily, and increasing capacity at the state level. So what we're doing is we're building off that existing infrastructure and using the tools of technology to overlay. In addition to that, we're using AmeriCorps specifically. I thank you as a champion for AmeriCorps for decades. We've been able to take advantage of that workforce, obviously our conservation corps. What we have now is called Cal Volunteers. In the spirit of Sarge Shriver, we are asking people, thousands of folks, to be part of this new corps, to get trained and to help us with the tracing, because you're absolutely right. The predicate for getting back to some semblance of normalcy is our ability to identify individuals through testing, to be able to trace their contacts, to isolate individuals that have seen people that are tested positive. And that's just going to require an army of folks and the capacity of consideration from individuals to allow for their privacy to be impacted by that kind of acuity of attention based upon where they've been and who they talked to.
Do a search for Army of Contact Tracers online and you'll come up with a bunch of results. And then you can go to the CDC website and see the job requirements and how they train you to be able to extract information from people and to get people to rat on their friends so that they can enjoy being interrogated as well and separated from their families and possibly vaccinated when the vaccine becomes available. Now let's watch a little promo from the Singapore Health Department regarding COVID-19 tracking app. Coming to a country near you, it's so happy and hip.
Play your part in fighting COVID-19 with just two simple steps. 1. Download Trace Together and help those around you to set it up. 2. Turn on your Bluetooth. And it is as simple as that. Get peace of mind for you and your family through community-driven contact tracing. Trace Together helps contact tracers notify you more quickly if you had close contact with a COVID-19 case, whether or not you know the person. But how does it work? Trace Together uses Bluetooth signals to determine when your phone is near another phone that also has the app installed. Both phones exchange anonymized IDs, which are then stored in encrypted form only on your phone. If a user gets infected with COVID-19, he or she will be asked to give contact tracers access to the Trace Together data, a list of anonymized IDs that your phone has been close to. And that's really it. No geolocation or other personal data is collected. The anonymized IDs will help contact tracers quickly identify and contact people at high risk of infection to provide care and prevent the spread of the disease. Take this time to 1. Download Trace Together and help those around you to set it up, and 2. Turn on your Bluetooth. The more people on board Trace Together, the faster we can combat COVID-19. Trace Together, safer together.
In Asia, right? And besides that, they said you had to opt in and download it on your phone. But let's see what Google and Apple have in store for us, at least to begin with.
This was painful.
Amy Driscoll says coronavirus had her in a vice grip that wouldn't let go for weeks.
Every breath, every movement, every, you know, raising your arms, rolling over in bed, every single thing is painful.
Less than 2 hours after arriving home from the hospital, her phone rang. It was the county health department asking lots of questions.
Who have I seen in the last 2 weeks? Where was I in the last 2 weeks? Who was I in contact with? Where do I work?
The health department was doing what is called contact tracing.
You have to trace every person who comes up positive. Trace means investigate. Investigate all those prior contacts.
Driscoll traced her steps. She'd gone to work. Her boss and staff had to be contacted. She went to a restaurant for lunch. She went to her hair salon. They had to be contacted. She went to a Cleveland Cavaliers game. All her family members who sat with her were contacted. This kind of contact tracing is happening across the country and the world.
Respiratory for the 84.
From those suffering through the deadly COVID-19 outbreak in New York to those connected to the first major U.S. outbreak in Washington state, to California, the first place where a statewide stay-at-home order was announced. Experts say without contact tracing and enough testing, America and the world cannot reopen safely.
We're going to be at risk of resurgence of this disease, not just in the fall, but going into next year.
So you're saying without contact tracing, a massive amount, without testing, a massive amount, we could find ourselves right back where we started.
I think we could find ourselves very much at risk of another resurgence.
But the U.S. does not have enough people to do the tracing. State health officials estimate there are about 2,000 people doing this work now. But Johns Hopkins University warns we need at least 100,000.
For now, contact tracing is only as good as your memory. This is hard. I mean, before stay-at-home orders, can you remember all the people you had close contact with over a two-week period, say, at the coffee shop, or at the grocery store, or at a restaurant, or at your child's school? And that's where big tech like Google and Apple are jumping in. They will soon have an app you can voluntarily download built with health departments so they can see detailed location data from your cell phone. But the public may be skittish about it due to privacy concerns.
Still, contact tracing requires serious legwork. LA's mayor is pushing for federal help.
We're probably going to need hundreds of thousands of Americans to be put to work. It should be funded by the feds, but enacted locally.
As for Driscoll, her contacts have been found. The health department tells her that none have symptoms so far. But testing is still a problem.
I've had no additional testing.
Again, at least to begin with, they say it will be voluntary. You'll have to download the app, but with millions of people doing it, not everybody needs to in order for it to be completely effective. Kind of like herd immunity. If enough people have the app, it doesn't matter whether you do or not, you can still be contacted and traced. Here's a handy little flow chart that tells you how the app is going to work. Just do a search for the Google and Apple COVID-19 tracing app online, and you'll be able to read it. Now let's go to Israel and hear what Benjamin Netanyahu has to say about microchipping children. And also they have their very own tracing app that they're going to unveil as well. And they've already been tracking their citizens electronically.
God forbid we reach a situation where all these mighty achievements are for nothing. So, citizens, I want you to continue keeping a safe distance between people of 2 meters, washing hands and hygiene, and wearing a mask. It's like there's a Passover Seder, you have matzah and maror, here you have distance, hygiene, and masks. And you have to follow it because that is the key. Everything is measured and in the end decided by this. I sat in a 9-hour internet government meeting today, video conference, and I want to say, and I want first of all to thank my ministerial colleagues who are working around the clock together with the directors general and the professional teams doing incredible work. All this work thanks to you, thanks to them. And I want to say that we've put together an organized plan, and I want to speak about it. First of all, we are scrapping the 100-meter restriction for leaving your home. You can leave your homes for any distance. I know you've been dreaming about it for a long time. Here it is. Another piece of good news. At home, the personal familial space, you can visit first-tier family. This is good news. You can also visit grandma and grandpa. And this is perhaps the most important thing, but I am asking you, please do not hug them, do not kiss them, do not touch them, keep a distance. I know it's difficult, especially for small grandkids who want immediately to run and to jump on grandma and grandpa, but it's really important that you, parents, keep discipline, keep a distance in order to protect them. We're still limiting restrictions to no more than 20 people and only in public spaces, but if everything goes as expected, in 2 weeks on the 17th of May, we will allow gatherings of 50 people, even before then on Lag BaOmer, sorts of weddings around Lag BaOmer. We shall enable weddings of 50 people, that is, chupa and the ceremony, not dancing, no touching, but the ceremony itself. You can start planning those weddings. On the 31st of May, we'll allow 100 people, and on the 14th of June, we're hoping we'll completely cancel the gatherings restrictions. But all this depends, once more, that at no stage a red light doesn't come on, and if a red light comes on, because people aren't following the rules about Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, about distance, masks and hygiene. This is Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. This is the Maror. These are the bitter herbs. You have to follow this. If you follow this, then we'll be able to continue with the plan that we will elaborate. Open the malls and the markets under the restrictions that the economy minister will elaborate on. To take food from there as a takeaway, you're allowed to eat it. You can't. I'm not committing that when I buy the pickles, I won't take it and steal a little pickle. But that's the rule. You can buy food, not eat it there. That'll come. The whole question of restaurants and eating in situ will come later, not just yet. But it's quite possible that the virus will burst out again in a second wave, maybe even more seriously. We must be ready for this. Be ready for this with a series of steps. I won't elaborate them right now. We're working on it. Not just the question of reopening the economy, reopening the country during corona routine. We're preparing for a situation that before we get a vaccine, we could get a second wave. We're not sure it'll happen. I hope it won't happen. I'm praying it won't happen. But I do know that, God willing, and thanks to you, we'll be ready for it. It means buying more respirators. We're doing that. It means technologies we haven't used to date. According to law, which we shall operate, it means maybe new techniques, which we're working on at the moment. I spoke with our technology chiefs to find all sorts of means that the state of Israel's really good at, like sensors. Maybe everyone, maybe children. I want, first of all, children. Maybe children can have sensors that warn you like a car. If you get too close, it gives a buzz. I don't know whether it's possible, whether we can install this. We're looking into it.
Thank you for watching. Again, please think twice and pray before you ever download any of these apps and before you ever give out the personal information, names, phone numbers, or any contact information to contact tracers or anyone anywhere in any government agency. Pray about it and talk to the person whose information you might give out before you give it out and get their permission. Don't give out people's information without their permission. Let each family decide what to do for themselves. And just recommend that that family tell everyone else privately as well that they have been around, that there's a possibility that they have come in contact with strep throat or COVID-19 or the flu or whatever. Let's do what we've always done. Contact people directly. Keep family business private. Keep your friends' business private, and let's work it out ourselves. We don't need a big brother babysitter. Again, if you found this information helpful, please share it with everyone that you know. You can also share our website, which is www.hiswordheals.com. We have lots of videos there on biblical healing, as well as prophecy and the times that we're living in. So please visit our website. Everything there is downloadable for free. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your home.